When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.
Aronimink Golf Club hosts the second major of the golf season.
There is the man of the moment, John Daly.
This is a PGA Championship Week edition of Dirt and Spray.
I fly this 236 yards.
With Andy Dirt Johnson.
When I'm drunk.
And Brandon Spray.
Sober, it's about 220.
PGA Championship Week on The Fan is brought to you by Langdon Farms Golf Club. There's no better course in the Northwest for year-round golf. Book your tee time at langdonfarms.com.
Let Uncle John take care of that.
Dirt and Spray on 105.1 FM and 1080 AM. The Fan.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Spray on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan and The Fan Sports Network. Good morning. Hello. We did it. We got there. It's Friday. Happy Friday, everybody.
What is happening?
Felt like that week flew by.
Yeah. Yeah, last couple have. The whole month has, really. I got to May from April, and I'm like,
what the hell,
my God, it's May. And then I did the math. My daughter's birthday's next weekend, which is the end of May. And I'm like, that's crazy.
How many more weeks left of school are we at now? Less than a month, right?
Probably about a month right now.
Yeah. 1 month ago.
For the elementary kids.
Like June 11th, 12th, somewhere in
God,
there.
God, that's wild. It's almost summertime. We had to sign Teddy up for swim lessons yesterday.
Oh, yeah?
We're already there. It's like, oh, yeah, that enrollment is open. You got to jump on that if you want to get a spot.
My sister-in-law told me that my niece's graduation is June 6th at the Memorial Coliseum. I'm like, that's in like 3 weeks.
What?
2 weeks?
What?
Yeah, nephew number three's graduation is like June 4th or something. Mm.
I have not been to a graduation in a long time.
You're going to sit there for 4 hours.
When did we
inside
decide?
The old VMC. You'll check out the VMC, though. You haven't been inside, have you?
I haven't been. That's hey, yeah,
you
good
get to
point.
See the new seats, man. They're wider. They're leather. They're fantastic.
When did we decide to make that a spectacle? And it's never going to die as a spectacle.
It will never die as
not
a spectacle.
Not that it should.
Well, I want to say, because I had nephew number one graduate from college. He graduated from George Fox.
That's a little bit of a bigger deal. A
couple of weekends ago.
In high school.
It was fantastic.
Like quick, easy, seamless.
Like no longer than an hour and a half.
Was there a commencement speech?
There was. Okay. It was a former graduate of George Fox who's gone on and he's gotten PhDs and done amazing things. Mm. It was short. It was sweet. It
perfect.
Was about 10 minutes.
Yes, now we're talking.
That was it. The main dean or chancellor, whoever led it, he was light. It was fun. They broke it up into two sessions for the class. So there was only, it wasn't like this endless procession when they were handing out the degrees and the diplomas.
Name after name after name.
So it was like
they don't really name them. They just walk across.
Yeah. No, they named them individually. I mean, George Fox is a small school to begin
George
with.
Fox is tiny.
But they split it up. So each session was like, it was no longer than an hour and a half.
That's perfect. Wait, under 90 minutes is fine.
It's such a small school that they named them, but they had to break it up into two sessions?
Well, I think, well, one, it was in the football stadium, so there's limited seating. So if people...
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
So,
I mean, to make sure everybody could be there.
So
they wanted to be there.
Yeah, they didn't want to limit it, so they wanted family and friends and whoever wanted to come have
enough
room.
Now, if you split it into two, does the commencement speaker have to give two speeches?
I believe so.
So he's got to do the double dip of the speech.
Which is probably why he cut it down and made it,
makes sense,
you know,
yeah.
10 minutes
if
or whatever.
If I got to do this twice, I'm going to
do the only curious
10
part about that one, though.
That's terrible, by the way.
What?
Two commencement speeches
to do
in
two.
The same day?
What do you get if you give a commencement speech?
You don't get any.
You don't pay it. They don't do anything. You don't get. There's no sort of. It's just.
I think. It's
I mean, some
a,
people get like a honorary degree.
He
don't
already
they?
Had a doctorate,
so
from
he doesn't
somewhere
need
anymore. Else. Yeah.
I get a second doctorate.
Hey, give me another piece of paper. All right.
Let I don't know.
Two time doctorate champion.
Double dip.
I'm sure they give you a get. You know, some sort of commemorative gift or something.
Yeah,
but
I got a cool bathrobe.
I got a
sash. I mean, he was an alumni of the university.
Yeah,
so.
Makes sense. I get it.
Okay, let me ask you this, because we didn't have that. We had one speaker. The speaker after us, the year after I graduated, they had Michelle Obama.
It's probably a little bit bigger than the one you had.
You could give me an entire week, and tell me $1 billion on the line, I could not even tell you the name of the person that spoke at my
commencement. No clue.
But it was fly right by. You're on the Jumbotron at Reser for a split second.
Yeah.
You grab your degree and you walk away.
And then you're done.
It's got to be really tough for the institutions that get, you know, alum who's probably very well established, had a great career, and good enough to come back, and then Arizona State gets Harrison Ford. Yeah. It's like, dude, they got
Damn
Solo,
it.
They got Indiana Jones.
That's such a badass guy to see give a
convention.
That's
a badass.
I don't know.
That's one, like, there's not many speakers that could get me to want to attend a graduation. Now, Harrison Ford's probably pretty high on the list.
You just said, I don't know. Harrison Ford spoke at Puget Sound, your graduation.
Ford right now?
I wish.
Indiana Jones?
My commencement at UPS, worst speaker, some woman who was involved, I think, in the Clinton administration way back in the day, up there for just endless 30, 40 minutes. There's no air conditioning in the field house. It was a hot May.
Sweating your balls off.
She's trying to reference life to being fruit salad. I'm like, what?
What is this? Shut up.
Just start handing stuff out.
Sit down.
What do you mean you don't know on Harrison Ford?
Wrap it up
Harrison
signs.
Ford would have been awesome. Yeah. I would have been.
Oh, you sounded like somebody was poo-pooing Harrison.
I would have welcomed Harrison Ford.
Oh, would have been great.
Harrison Ford.
I'd have welcomed Calista Flockhart at that point.
Buddy, that's a good lesson in life. If you ever we'll never get to that point of giving a commencement speech, but if you do and you're listening right now, 10 minutes max, wrap it up.
10 to 15
Same
minutes.
Same thing goes for a best man or a best gal speech at a wedding.
Oh, that's 2 to 3
minutes. Just wrap it up. Nobody cares about your high school stories. We don't need to read through your text messages. If you're reading off the phone, it's taking too long.
Wow.
Off the cuff, couple of minutes, make it fun, quick joke. I love everybody.
If you got a one-line zinger. Craft the one-line zinger.
We want the bar. We want the food. We want the dance floor. We don't care about your speech. Speed it up. Wrap it up. 5 minutes, you've gone too long, okay? Turn this thing around.
So have you never been in, the presence of, a great speech?
I felt like I gave a great speech. I was the best man at my brother's wedding.
Mm.
I had a family member tell me after that speech, I was still in college, that you're going to be famous someday. And I thought, well, that's, you've just rose my ego through the roof. I appreciate that.
That's the last thing you needed to hear.
Yes. Now look at me, man. I'm the 19th ranked local mid-market morning show in Portland.
Why do you think you gave a great speech?
Because I had people tell me it was a great speech, and it was quick, and I didn't read anything. I want to say I went for about 5 minutes. Made fun of my brother the entire time, wrapped up with a heartwarming, love you, you've been a great big brother. People laughing, everybody was paying attention, didn't take too long. I felt like I had knocked it out of the ballpark, 10 out of 10.
A great best man speech is less than, because you said you went five?
I think 5 minutes is
five
the absolute,
or less.
5 or less is the absolute max that you could go.
And
because you're not the only one giving a speech. The father or the bride's got to give a speech. The best lady or one of the maid of honor.
Maid of honor,
is the word I'm looking for. That's
best lady.
The best number one lady. Come on
best
down.
Lady.
Samantha, number one booker. She's got to give a speech.
How 1993 Simpsons of you. The best lady.
The best lady. Like everybody, you're not the only one. If you're the only one giving a speech, a little bit different. But now you got five speeches here. You got to make that thing quick.
Okay.
I've had people who have told me they've gone to a wedding where the best man speech has gone more than 20 minutes.
No.
And then they've added on additional speeches for other groomsmen and bridesmaids that wanted to stand up
more than 20 minutes.
Like, what are we doing here?
I don't think
those people told me that it was a family friend of the it wasn't my niece got married. It was a family friend and they legitimately got up and left.
I couldn't talk for 20 minutes.
All right, that's enough.
On speech.
We just want food.
At an event like that, for anybody in my family, I couldn't do it for 20 minutes.
No, even if you spent the time to write the entire thing down. I just went off the cuff for my speech. I had bullet points I knew I wanted to hit, and I'm like, yeah, we'll pound a couple of beers, shoot from the hip, we'll be all right.
There you go.
Knocked it out of the ballpark, baby.
I love that you have the time constraints here, and also nobody's better at it than I was.
No, I dominated the dojo. Absolutely dominated. If you want me to give the best man speech at your wedding, I'll give the best man speech at your wedding, okay? It'll be over, it'll be quick, it'll be succinct, and let's get to the part of the night that everybody's here for, that we actually care about. That is the open bar and the dance floor.
I can see your scenario playing out in my head where you did give a great speech. I also am laughing at the idea that it was your aunt that was like, good job, Andy, that was amazing. And you're like, oh, it was amazing, wasn't it?
Thanks, Ann, I appreciate that. I am going to be famous someday.
So if a wedding best man maid of honor speech has to be five or less. What's the requirement for a commencement? Because a commencement can't be 5 minutes.
No, I think 10 to 15. No longer than 15.
15 max, 13 ideal, 10 really? I'm totally fine with it.
Hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Some of the ones I've seen, because they'll pop up online from time to time. Like Eric Church, you guys don't probably know who Eric Church is. He's a country guy, went to North Carolina, ironically, with your shirt. He gave the commencement speech there. People keep posting it. I haven't watched it, but it was about 17 minutes long. And everybody keeps saying it was a great speech. I probably won't watch it. I think he played a little music during the speech. So if you're playing music and there's that element, maybe you can go a little bit longer than that. I just think people are ready to get the day over. Like, if you're graduating, your thought is, what's next? What's coming out? Unless it's somebody that's a big ticket item, then you might want a little bit longer speech. Get it over with, man. Yeah. I want to hear my name read. Everybody's ready to get out of here. It's probably very hot. Let's move the day along a little bit.
It'd be funny to think of the celebrity that if they did your commencement speech, they ruined where their star power lands for
with
you.
With a bad speech or a long speech?
With a long speech. Yeah. Like, let's use Tom Hanks.
Tom, who doesn't love Tom
Coming
Hanks?
Coming out, he's in Eugene,
Here's
Oregon,
Tom.
Has booked Tom Hanks. Oh, my God, Tom Hanks.
That's Forrest Gump himself in the flesh.
And Tom Hanks talks for 42 minutes.
Yeah, after about 30, I'm like, dude, you might have been the iconic movie actor of my generation.
You're no longer in my top three.
Now you're behind Leo. I don't even really like a lot of Tom Cruise movies. I'm going to put Tom Cruise ahead of you. I haven't seen half of them, but what the hell? Top Gun Maverick, people tell me
yeah,
it's
you're
great.
Like, Tom, dude, Tom, we're not on a Castaway set.
Okay,
let's go.
We're not on a deserted island here. I'm ready to go to Rennie's for a Rennie's lemonade.
Not even a top three Tom anymore.
No. Tom Hardy in The Revenant was awesome. Yeah,
somebody's okay. Screaming Wilson from the...
Just to disrupt his speech. Shut up.
Shut up, Tom.
That's funny.
Wrap it up. I haven't been to a graduation in a long time. I feel like nieces and nephews graduating is a weird... really old feeling. Like, when that hits me, mm-hmm. I'm going to feel really old.
Yeah, when I started dating the wife, she was about a year and a half old.
So you've not, like, you've seen like, the whole journey.
Literally, one of the first, God, this is going to sound so old. One of the first, because I didn't have a phone right away, and I didn't have a phone at all in high school.
Right.
And then I didn't get a phone right away right out of high school, so it was about a year and a half, 2 years I got a phone. I had only had a phone for, like, 4 years. And I started dating the wife, and one of the first photos she sent me was a photo of her next to her, and she's, like, in her car seat.
Here's my niece.
Doing, like, a funny little face as a one-and-a-half-year-old kid.
Looking like a cute little baby.
And now,
graduating,
you know,
high school.
She barely wants to talk to me.
You want nothing to do with you.
Hey. And then just walks away, like,
moving
oh, okay.
on to bigger and better things than Uncle Brandon. We don't need Uncle Brandon right now.
Well, there's two
right?
Uncle Brandons for her, unfortunately, so I'm Uncle Beanuts. But, you know, the red envelope with $100 is coming her way in a couple weeks.
You hand them the envelope, you go through the speech, you sit through it.
Now, you are kind of shortchanging yourself. You might be a commencement speaker. And the reason I say that is the precedent has been set.
Mm.
Did you see who spoke at UP's?
No, I did not.
Yeah, UP's this year was... Malika Andrews.
Ooh, a famed Portland pilot legacy. Oh.
Let's step in it a little
bit. Let's go. Let's get a little uncomfortable. Right out of the gate. What's your beef with Malika Andrews?
Well, hold on. Don't phrase it that way. Malika Andrews is very well established in her career.
Yes, she is.
She's had a lot of success.
Mm-hmm.
You could tell if anybody was ever around Blazer games in any media capacity. You could kind of get a sense that she was being elevated in a way when she was a student.
Yeah.
She would show up to Blazer games.
I remember seeing her around the bowels of the Motor Center.
Trailing the AP writers. Yeah. Like, she was, and she's kind of like being pushed at the forefront.
Ask a question.
Yeah. So, like, for me to see her pop up at 23 as a beat writer and then be hosting a show at like 26 or whatever she was.
Yeah, she's pretty young.
I wasn't really shocked by that.
No.
I also would ask, if you're talking at a commencement speech, shouldn't you be a little more...
Oh, not enough life experience?
Yeah.
Is that what you're going with?
Yeah.
Even though there's been success
there.
In the career?
Yeah, I'm going
you
there.
You think, how old is Malika Andrews?
I honestly think she's like
what
30.
Is she, 32
31.
Or something?
She's super young.
31 years old. She just turned 31 years old in January.
She's married to our good friend Dave McMiniman.
Yes.
The LeBron insider.
Slightly older than her.
So she's been graduated for less than 10 years, I'd imagine, right? Because probably 4 year graduate, I'm assuming normal. Course
assume
of 22
it's 4 years.
Yeah, I guess,
yeah.
Assuming there. And if it was longer than that, then it's been significantly shorter than a decade. But so less than 10 years. I see what you're saying.
I mean, like, I'm
I
not
see
saying
the argument
you can't
here.
Be telling people, hey, you know, this is how I got to my path.
Right.
But like,
just pull yourself up by your bootstraps, all right? Once you work a little bit harder.
Did they pick her because she was the right candidate or pick her because of her name?
Both.
Both.
she's the right candidate.
I mean, I don't know what else UP
has. I don't
know
who else was in consideration, but
they're a pretty good engineering institution.
Yeah.
They have a great medical background for nerd. Like,
who would you rather give the commencement speech?
Well, I don't even know how famous is a Malika Andrews to the college classes nowadays.
I don't know. I'd imagine
I don't know how much TV they watch.
It's also tough, too, because if you're not a sports fan,
that's what I'm saying.
Then you're not, you
how
don't
many
have
people
any
there
clue
watch
who she
NBA
is.
Today?
Right. Yeah. It's, I mean, I see the argument you're making. I'm picking up what
so you're
putting
down.
So
you're going for star power, but it might not be star power to this generation.
No, but I also think for the universities, the star power is more powerful to them than a more seasoned commencement speech, if you will.
Oh, how much of
because
it is?
Because if you pick a random engineer who might be incredibly successful, is that what, I don't know what UP's biggest
Their nursing program
nursing
is
and engineering
well-known.
Is pretty good.
You get Gaylord Focker, right? The number one nurse of Meet the Parents.
Yeah.
He's out there giving a speech as the male nurse.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to get more eyeballs and attention?
Also, Malika is a polished public speaker.
Yes, she is. She does it for a living.
I mean, Focker could get away in a speech talking for 15 minutes.
Talk about dying the cat's tail and how the things you have to do
Hold on.
Impress your family.
They're not inviting somebody that doesn't talk publicly.
Oh, you don't think there's a bad speaker that's ever given a speech?
Oh, I'm not saying there's not bad commencement speakers. I'm sure there's a whole internet webpage full of them.
Right. You get nervous when the lights come on.
I just think a lot of institutions vet that and they're like, okay, that person talked at this conference and that conference and that conference. They're good.
Right.
I don't think they're like, well, Malika can talk in front of a camera. Gaylord Focker cannot. I don't think that's how that broke down. I am always wondering.
No, I think it was more about the name and the attention and recognition. Now, to the point that you're trying to make, I don't know if it got to bubbles outside of the sports world.
Yeah.
But if you're in a sports world bubble, I'm imagining some of those clips went viral. Or I don't know how long the speech was. I'd imagine she did fine.
I didn't see the speech.
Yeah, but I'm picking up what you're putting down. 31 years old is pretty young to be giving life advice. I even have that as a 37-year-old. Like, if somebody asked me, which they never would, to give a commencement speech,
I wouldn't do it.
I don't think I would either.
If Oregon State asked me tomorrow,
you
got to
come up with 15 minutes of material.
I'm being dead honest.
Encouraging life advice.
I'd say thank you, but no thank you.
Hey, how things work out in your career? I don't know. Right place, right time.
I work in radio.
Some stars aligned.
I'll let you know if I still have the job in a year.
I played a clip yesterday of a horse farting and laughed my ass off. So, find your inner horse fart and you'll be happy in
life.
You
go Billy Crystal from City Slickers on career day.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's a good point.
Value this time in your life, kids.
Well, in my job, I got done
Don't
with it.
Don't ever leave here, man.
I pulled a kooka bird, sounded like an orgasm sound, so
you
I thought that was funny.
Yeah, so we do that after the show.
So that's what I do for my job.
Yeah,
but work hard.
Strive
for those goals, kids.
If you keep working hard, don't worry, inflation's going to keep going up, so there's no hope,
Yeah.
Have fun filling up your gas tank on the way home, kiddos. All right, we'll see you next year.
Stay in the basement as long as you can. Interest rates are sucking. Yeah, house prices are dumb.
Just turn into the Billy Madison speech of the kid in third grade. Don't ever leave here.
Swag, you're kind of the sweet spot of age for a commencement speaker. If Puget Sound reached out,
would you do it?
I would consider it.
Yeah.
Look at me.
He'd do it.
He would.
He'd do it.
I'd consider it. That'd be the quickest yes of all time on that phone. Your ego would not allow you to consider it. It'd be an instant yes.
I was not a big fan.
Do you want to give the speech?
Absolutely.
Not even a hesitation.
I was not a big fan of the administration when I left UPS. It changed while we were there. So I have not given one nickel back to the university since I've left.
You think it's gauged on who donates money?
No, I'm just saying.
The standing that you have with the university was not great upon your departure.
Obviously loved the fraternity, and if the fraternity ever asked me to do something, here, there, whatever, I would do it. My lifelong friends there, that was amazing. But
I heard a story once at it was a get-together with clients and back in the day when we were intercom.
Mm-hmm.
And we were at like a restaurant-type setting. Now, this wasn't me. I wasn't there. This is a story I've heard second and third hand.
Secondhand story.
What did I do?
There was a story once that I was told that a client was at talking to some of our sales execs.
Mm-hmm.
And he walked over and he introduced himself. And the person from the company who was doing, spending money on the station.
Yeah.
He introduced himself as Jason, and the guy introduced himself, And then the guy goes, so what do you do at the Fan?
Yeah, what's your job?
And he said, and this is the quote that multiple people have told me. He said, I'm swag.
Swag.
And he walked away.
I mean.
So, yeah, I think if they called, yes, he wouldn't hesitate.
Not stating lies here. Herb.
You don't say that to a client unless you're full of massive ego.
Yeah.
I'm going to try that one at the Fan Golf Classic. So what do you do with the Fan? I'm dirt. What do you mean, what do I do? Do you know who I am?
What I love most?
Google me, Grandma!
He hasn't even tried to set the record straight because he probably remembers that moment.
That story probably
happened. I don't remember that at all.
I'm swag. As if that guy's the dumbest human to ever exist. I'm swag.
I think that of all the people...
I love the walk-away part, too. Like, you're an idiot. I'm out of here.
I think of all the people that would give a commencement speech, you would, of the three of us on the show, you would probably give the best one. Life experience helping, age helping. You would give the funniest one, probably making people laugh.
And what's the best one? How do you gauge what the best one is, then?
Because
I'd rather laugh and enjoy it.
You'd rather
it than
laugh than give some life advice?
Listen to old balls here.
Old balls. Take advantage of life before your balls get too low, all right?
I would try to be inspirational.
You would, yeah, you would go that route. I don't know if I don't trust my abilities to come up with a good speech in that regard. For 10 minutes, that's too long. We did have somebody, by the way, say that they gave.
I'm glad you're amusing yourself this morning.
The old balls line guy.
We need to go.
Yeah, wrap it
I'm
up,
I'm just
right?
thinking of you being inspirational. You're like, get out of your bubble. Try mayonnaise like I did one time.
Find your mayonnaise in life. But he said, I gave a wonderful best man speech. It was about 4 minutes long. I had people laughing, and then they got divorced 4 months later.
Ooh, ouch. Ooh, that stings.
I just spent all that time coming up with that speech. He couldn't even last.
Oh, nice little Friday start.
Hello, everybody.
Good. Happy Friday, everybody. We have a lot to get to today. Let's get it going. Thank you for hanging with us. We got a fun show today. Dirt and Sprague, we start next on 105.1 The Fan.
Have you ever felt like you were living just a B or B plus life? It's so dangerous to live that, more dangerous than a B minus or a C plus life, because when you're living a B or B plus life, you don't change it. You think it's good enough. Is it? I'm Susie Welch. I host a podcast called Becoming You. People think, okay, an A plus life is not available to me, but there is a way. We are all in the process of becoming ourselves. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
We've got Stephen Willis. He's going to hop on with us coming up here at the top of the hour. He is the host of the Ole Miss Locked On podcast. Want to know how the week has gone down there at Oxford.
Everything going smooth? Smooth sailing?
So, Stephen, how much more racist or not racist is Ole Miss today?
Your school is dumb, and it's easy to get into, and everybody down there is a racist. Come on down, Ole Miss. Hello.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. I saw Bomani Jones did one of the feature pieces on Trinidad Chambliss and asked him, like, hey, did that ever come up for you or your family? No, an immediate.
Oh, he was asked about the Lane Kiffin comments, basically?
Well, I think in the sit-down, he reached out to his parents and his grandparents. He was like, was this ever a conversation you guys had, ever a thing? And came? No, not at all. Not in the slightest.
Crazy week for old Lane. Freaking Lane Kiffin, man. So Dirt's nightmare is possible. It's sitting there.
It's right there available.
A final group pairing in the final round of the PGA Championship of Patty Reed and Michael Block is not out of the question yet.
I got a hole in one. I'm in the final group. Me? Me? No.
Roar.
No.
Rory.
Rory, no way.
Rory, me?
No, me?
Me and Reed?
Me? Me? No, couldn't be. Yeah, that's how it works, Michael.
Why?
Two lowest scores get into the final group.
Why can't you let him, like, why can't he be genuinely shocked that he actually couldn't process that he had a hole-in-one with Rory McIlroy?
I just, the scene behind it, if you go back and watch the video, is very cringeworthy, because literally everybody on the tee box is high-fiving because they saw that the ball
went in. The crowd's going nuts.
The crowd is going nuts. You got a hole-in-one, and he stands there and performs for an extra 2 minutes of, like, no way. Really? If I ever get a hole-in-one and I do that to you, slap me in the face. Dirt, you got a hole-in-one. No way, Sprague. No way. We all saw the ball go in. No way it did, though. Did it? It did? No, it didn't. Are you sure?
Well, as the only person on this program that's gotten a hole-in-one, I can tell you that shock does hit you in a weird way.
It does.
And you don't know how to process your greatness.
There's no chance that way. No.
Wait a minute. One swing and I'm done? No.
Old Blocky had a nice little day, though. I think he ended even par on opening day yesterday. He hung around. He's one over through nine right now, so one over for the tournament, even par.
The leaderboard is an absolute disaster right now for the for the event.
It's not great. There's a lot of random names near the top. I think this level of dip, like I had a lot of fun watching all the golf yesterday. It was kind of a good golf sicko day. There's something unique about watching the best players in the world.
They're really struggling.
Lose
out here.
Their ass.
The wind is crazy. It's cold.
Yeah,
the rough is way worse than they thought.
So I think usually when you get a tournament like this is playing more like a U.S. Open than it is a PGA Championship, and I don't know if anybody's going to go low today because the greens are tough and the wind's blowing like 25 miles an hour. So it's really hard out there. I think usually in those level of conditions, the cream rises to the top. Like, it's so easy to make a double bogey because you're in the wrong spot in the rough, and you're, hey, I'm smally at 3-under, all of a sudden you're even par because you went double and bogey back-to-back holes. So I do think the cream will eventually rise to the top. This is a really cool, like, not to get too golf nerdy, though. There's a genuine fear in the golf world about what do we do with all these old courses because you don't have enough land to make them long enough. That's why we have this debate about rolling the ball back and, like, how do we make them playable? Because everybody coming into this week had the fear of you're just going to bomb it. It's a short course.
Yep.
Hit driver a million miles wedge, and that's all you're going to do.
Yep.
And they have found a way through the difficulty of the greens, through the thickness of the rough, like, just the way that the course is playing, that you can still make old-school courses that don't have a lot of land, incredibly challenging for modern day players. It was a lot of fun yesterday.
Yeah, you have to penalize players if they can't hit the fairway.
If you miss the fairway, you're screwed.
You put it in a bunker, you put it in the rough, you are scrambling hard just to save
par. If you're above the hole, you are screwed,
and
you might make a bogey or a double bogey. Like, there have to be ways to punish them, and they found it. It's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, I was confused because I watched the pre-tournament coverage on ESPN. They were doing a SportsCenter hit live, and I think it was Andy North on the broadcast with Scott Van Pelt, and they were showing an image of the course.
Yeah.
And he basically was like, if you don't hit the fairway, you got bunker and super thick rough here, so you have to hit the fairways.
Yeah.
But then, like, we came in and did the show, and you guys, I don't mean this as a shot, but you guys kind of made me, like, second guess Andy North because you made it seem a little less difficult. And then also Michael Collins, our old friend who's former caddy.
Yes, had him on the show.
He did a hit on the ESPN show before us yesterday, and he basically was making fun of Evan Cohen. He's like, they're going to go so low on this course, and they're going to dominate, and the only one who thinks otherwise are clowns who don't know anything about golf that wear makeup. Like, that was, I think
that
he
was
said
his
that.
Quote?
I don't think.
Basically,
I didn't anticipate as much wind.
That seems personal.
It seemed very personal when I heard it.
Man, take it easy on
I didn't anticipate this much wind. I don't remember hearing they expected, because the par threes are long to begin with.
Yes.
Like, the shortest one is 175 yards, and the other three are over 200.
Right. Mm. So it's there's length on the par threes. Yeah, I don't know. I saw there was a quote from a player who on Wednesday was asked, what do you think the winning score will be? And they said somewhere 16 to 20 under is what a player
thought.
I think
that was kind of a general tour consensus.
Like, man, we'll be all right. Like, we read the quote, which aged horribly for him because Rory was terrible yesterday. But he was asked, what's the strategy off the tee? He was like, there's no strategy. You just hit it as far as you can. Well, clearly there's a strategy, Rory. You got to find
it.
The fairway. And if you don't, you're going to make a lot of bogeys.
A little bit straight.
Bogeyed four straight holes in his round yesterday. Yeah, and he was punished largely for missing the fairway off the tee. And so, the Cohen thing, Collins thing is funny. I didn't see that quote.
Yeah.
Taking a shot at Evan Cohen.
It was really funny.
But I think it was John Rahm yesterday said that they heard that quote about 16 to 20 under being the winning score, and they were like, hell no, it won't be.
Yeah.
And we're going to tighten the screws a little bit and make these greens a little more difficult, and it's only going to get drier and warmer as the weekend goes on because the wind's not stopping, and it's supposed to get hot over the weekend. So in theory, that should make the course play harder.
Would you like to have the fun fact of Garrick Higo, who's 1-under, by the way, even with a 2-stroke penalty,
should be tied for the lead right now.
Yeah. So being a minute late cost him the lead. They just showed him walking in. Do you know who his clothes sponsor is? Malbon.
I think if you're a Malbon, you're pretty psyched about that.
I think you're pumped.
Because if Garrick Higo doesn't show up late to his tee time, even if he shoots a 3-under, like, go through the list of guys.
We're not talking about pot gear to you.
How many Minwoo Lee shots did you see yesterday?
Yeah, none.
Exactly. Minwoo Lee's a no-name on tour.
Pot Geeter. Another South African.
Didn't watch a second
what
of
about,
Pot
Geeter. What about our guy Hisasune?
Nope.
The guy who holds the water in his mouth on every shot.
Yeah, I know. I
know. The Chinese sensation.
I know he is. I didn't watch it. I didn't see Jaeger much. You know what I mean? Like,
you weren't Jaeger bombing yesterday?
Well, he was in the morning wave.
He was early yesterday.
He went out early.
Sure. So probably he didn't see him, and I didn't even know who he was.
To the point about a Malbon sponsorship, though, you showing up late to your tee time, that got him a lot of screen time yesterday. Everybody wanted to interview him after the round. He went viral.
Rough day for the two livers of DeChambeau shooting almost what Bryce Fisher shot.
Yeah.
And John Rahm getting so pissed that he throws his club into the ground and a chunk smacks a volunteer in the face.
He did, yeah. He at least apologized after the round. I'll give him that, I guess. He played well, considering. That's the funny thing about Rahm. Like, he held it together. It looked like he was going to go off the rails.
Yeah, yeah, two hole outs.
Two hole outs helped. I think he ended up at one under. The Bryson thing is I could go on for hours. He's a fascinating story for a guy who... I can't remember who wrote the piece. Somebody had a great article on him yesterday. I was reading about, basically, he has done so many unconventional things throughout his career, the same length of the irons, 3D printing clubs, like every little nuance that he tries to get an advantage on. And his retort, if you ever question, like, why would you do that, was, well, look, I'm having success. I'm winning tournaments. I've won a couple of majors. If this continues, like, that argument falls through the floor. He's like, he can't hit an iron the distance that he needs to hit an iron. And it killed him at the Masters. He didn't make the cut. And unless he finds a miracle today, I don't know what the projected cut line is right now, but he's got to have to get it going today in order to make the cut. There's no confidence in that game right now.
You know what, though? Like, I think some of the greatest athletes are the ones that evolve. The ones who can change when they need to change.
Yeah, acknowledge that
something
you're doing
is not
working.
About this with LeBron this year. Like, LeBron came in and, yeah, Luke, we knew Luka was their best player, but LeBron was sitting in this weird spot of, like, am I the second best? Do I shoot the second most shots?
Right.
And then Austin Reeves had a really good year, and LeBron came back, and he talked about this on a podcast. He told Luka and Reeves, he goes, just keep doing what you're doing. I will figure this out. And he settled into a nice third role.
Yeah.
And it's the first time in his career he's ever had to do that. I think great athletes can find ways to evolve. I'll be very curious with him because, remember, he's kind of had different variations of a career, Bryson DeChambeau.
Yes, he has.
And now he's
changed his body. He's changed his swing.
He's done all kinds. He swings out of his butt sometimes. And he's changed his club lengths to all the same level. I wonder if, like, this is a learning experience where he goes, okay, I can't 3D print my clubs. I'm not having success this way. Maybe I should get on with a club sponsor.
Yeah, well, I evolved.
And stop complaining every other day. Like, I view him as somebody, look at his YouTube channel, dude.
Yeah.
Like, he's somebody who is, I think, always trying to forward think. And so, like, I know right now he's struggling. I wonder if these experiences get him to evolve again and change his mentality on some of this stuff.
He did open himself up for the jokes yesterday. Somebody said he looks like one of these, scratch golfers who's out at Aronimink doing a YouTube video, can I break 90?
Well,
and it's like him in an AI graphic where there's, like, bombs going off around him on the golf course. Can I break 90? I don't know. I do think it's a valid argument. He's evolved a ton in his career. And guys, like, it should be noted, like, the best players in the world go through swoons.
No
doubt.
They
go through bad performances and ups and downs. Rahm has gone through it recently, like Spieth, Rory's had it at times. Scotty's had tournaments where he hasn't played very well. So ups and downs are always going to happen in the golf world. He's in an interesting spot because he doesn't know where he's playing next year. There's a lot of attention on him, and he was horrible at the first major of the year. He was horrible on the opening round, and so it's just the timing of it, too. Like, if he's a solidified guy on the PGA Tour, maybe not quite. Oh, it's like, oh, Bryson played bad, whatever.
Yep.
But his future being in doubt makes it interesting.
So the PGA Championship rolls on. Patty Reed, Minwoo Lee, and a guy named Smalley and Potgeater are leading the way. Jaeger bombs in there, and Hitatsune are all three under.
Have you ever tried the water thing? Next time I play, I want to try that. Hold the water in your mouth. Release the tension. Ease the tension, baby.
I don't think I'm interested in that.
Then swallow it.
We have a lot more to get into. Stephen Willis is going to join us. He covers Ole Miss for the Locked On Network. He'll join us coming up at the top of the hour. Dirt and Sprague, 6:39. Back with more on The Fan.
Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey wherever you get your podcasts.
We got the NFL schedule released in full, and so all the teams send out their content. We'll get to that today. One team did exactly what everybody thought they would do. They leaned into it. And we'll talk about that.
Some really good ones.
Yeah,
as there are every year.
You made a very good point, though, and I want to bring back what the point is because I've had this opinion for a couple years. I do enjoy them.
Yeah.
I don't watch all 32.
It's fun, but yeah.
But you had a point that I think you're accurate on, so I want to talk about that today. Coming up the top of the hour is going to be Stephen Willis. He does the Locked On podcast for Ole Miss football. Boy, what a week.
Hell of a week down there.
What a week. It just means more. And racism. So he'll join us coming up at the top of the hour. Kind of an odds and ends segment here. Kind of a hodgepodge mix bag of stuff.
Love a good hodgepodge.
Call it a little trail mix, sports okay. Trail mix, okay?
Reaching in. Don't give me any almonds.
Oh, you're anti-almond.
I fish out the almonds in trail mix.
You don't like almonds like at all.
Not at all. I can't stand almonds. I don't like
what
the taste.
What is it about almonds?
I don't like the texture.
It's not really a taste.
They're too big of a nut.
What about cashews?
Cashews are too big, too. I can handle the smaller cut-in-half peanut. I can handle that one.
You don't even like the whole peanut.
No, too much nut.
You don't eat nuts, do you?
No. Yeah. I can handle those cut-in-half peanuts if I have some raisins and some M&Ms in my bite, and then it's like mixed in.
So if I give you a lot of sugar, you can...
For ambiance in my mouth, then I can handle it. But for an almond, it just dominates the whole bite. It's too big.
Well, what I would say, though, in this sports trail mix that I'm giving you,
yeah,
I would tell you that the M&M is starting with, I kind of poo-pooed the World Cup to the frustration of some listeners yesterday.
Yeah, very offended by that.
I don't think they really were. What I would say is, I'm not going to actively seek it out, but yeah, I'll end up knowing who's in what stage and I'll see stuff. Like, I'm not saying I'm going to see it on the TV and look the other way, okay? But if you want to get me a little more interested, you tell me what time Shakira performing, and I will be watching that.
Wait, we got Shakira performing?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's part of the halftime show of the final. Her, Madonna, and BTS.
You like a little Korean flavor?
What?
Hell yeah.
That's who they're collecting,
dude,
huh?
Give me that collaboration all day.
It's a worldwide event.
Yeah, I mean, I understand that. Yeah, you get South America, you get Asian involved, you get Madonna. Dude, did I hear a Madonna in there?
Madonna
is Madonna
Shakira
still performing?
What, she will be at the World Cup?
Apparently so.
How does Madonna look these days?
She looks great. Madonna and Shakira performing on the stage is going to do something for swag and me.
Ugh. Yeah, I mean, I understand that point, but...
Microphone was on when you made that noise. What are you, some big prize?
I mean, look
at
me.
Brad Pitt Jr. over there?
I'm a piece of sex over here is what I am.
George Clooney?
I'm a smoking gun walking through these doors, all right?
Wow, we got George Mooney over here commenting on people.
You know, but no, I'm
that
not
mustache,
quite...
That mustache, he thinks he's Burt Reynolds all of a sudden.
I'm not quite a sex machine, but my face does move.
By the way...
I got that going for me.
Terrible person, Burt Reynolds. Sally Fields has been doing interviews because she's got some new thing out. Man, she's talked about being with Burt Reynolds.
Anti-Burt Reynolds, huh?
Huge piece of crap.
Yeah, not surprised by that.
I mean,
that sounds about right.
Yeah.
Madonna.
So Shakira and Madonna BTS.
So that's for the final game, for the championship game?
Yeah, so they do a big halftime show like the Super Bowl.
So we're gonna get a Super Bowl halftime show. I might watch the first 48 to just get to the halftime
show. Just to get to the Shakira tongue waggle?
Oh, yeah. Well,
I mean,
my God. It's a great tongue waggle.
Hips don't lie.
Yeah, hips don't lie for sure.
No, they don't.
And then the other thing I wanted to get to, so I observed some of your hockey last night.
Oh, did you watch hockey last night? I had a parlay last night. I had a Canadiens and a Vegas parlay.
There you go.
Yeah, nice little dub.
Saw the Golden Knights finally get rid of that ugly-ass orange uniform. Thank you.
Go back to the drawing board, Anaheim. Come with new uniforms, and then maybe we'll root for you in the playoffs next year.
You don't need new uniforms. They're right there. Everybody wants you to wear them.
Yeah.
And I don't really care about the Anaheim Ducks. They're kind of one of the more forgotten franchises, I think, in all sport. But they had a pretty killer jersey, and I would maybe have rooted for them had they leaned into it and stayed with it.
Agreed.
But they went full orange. And, as you know this very well. As a Duck, you never go full orange.
You never go full orange.
You can't do that.
It always backfires.
Maybe
on
that's
you.
Why it broke my brain.
You might lose it home to Colorado if you wear orange in your uniform.
Exactly.
And you and I both root for teams who have orange in their color scheme. And I think we can acknowledge orange is a nice accent. It's a good, like, I have no issue with orange. Too much orange is a problem.
Yeah, I'm not. Yeah.
Like, if the Oregon State jerseys, when they go all orange.
You can't go clockwork orange.
Like, if the Giants ever came out with an all orange, like, City Connect uniform.
I'll tell you this.
Vomit into a trash can.
Not a big all orange guy.
Yeah.
But if Oregon is going all green, Oregon State goes all orange, I'll get on board with it.
If you go into
your brightest colors and you just lean into all the way.
They had the highlighter Civil War.
Civil War.
Turned out to be come down to the wire.
Down to the wire. So I saw the Ducks get eliminated. I also observed the Montreal Canadiens.
Yes, one win away now from the conference finals.
A hell of a third period for them. They're one win away from getting to the cup finals, okay?
No.
Or the conference finals.
Conference finals, yeah. Waiting for Carolina. Carolina's just on vacation.
Much like Philly getting invaded by New York, Buffalo very invaded by Montreal.
Yeah.
A lot of Canadian fans there.
So I'm going to ask you guys this.
Yeah.
Buffalo has not been this in a very long time.
No.
Yes.
God, no.
Yeah.
When was the last time they made the second round of the playoffs?
That's a great question. Look it up. A
couple decades.
It's been a minute.
I bet you Hasek was in goal.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because remember, they had the Stanley Cup appearance and they got swept.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. I'll find the answer.
Buffalo is in a spot they haven't been in a long time. And the Canadiens overtake the building. I'm asking you sincerely, because we saw this with Knicks fans in Philly.
2007.
What is the profit margin you have to make to be the diehard fan who does sell your ticket to possibly the opposing fan base?
Yeah, I mean, I think you're pretty confident. If you're in that spot, you're like a season ticket holder, or you bought tickets, that if you're going to sell them to somebody coming in with a higher offer, I would just guess in my head it's going to be an out-of-town fan.
Let's call it a Blazer game. It's game, what was last night? Game five?
Game five.
Game five. You're down.
Conference semifinals.
And it's a home game, and we haven't been in the conference finals in a long time.
Lakers are in town. It's got to be somebody that's close, because that's like Montreal and Buffalo.
Has to be a historical team.
Warriors are in town.
It's got to be one of those that would buy your ticket and throw money at you.
And you have a really good seat. Let's say you spent $1,300 per ticket. You got two tickets. You spent $2,600.
I'm in for $2,600.
How much does another person have to pay you to not go to that game?
I probably got to clear five figures.
Five figures? Not high four figures?
I think I got to clear five figures.
If you made $5,000 total.
So you get an $8,000 profit, you're saying no? That's hard. Like, I can't criticize any of these fans that do it.
$5,000 total profit, I think you would do it.
I'll never forget hearing the stories from people the week Ohio State was in town last year.
Yeah.
And, dude, kudos to some of the Duck fans who said no to those offers, because they were getting offered insane amounts of money from Buckeye fans. And some of them said, yes, there was a lot of red in the stadium, but there was a good chunk of fans that were like turning down 20 grand for their tickets to that game. And they would tell you, hey, they went on to win the game. It's a memory you'll never forget. So maybe they're glad that they didn't do it. Maybe they're in a spot where they don't need 20 grand.
Well, if you're turning down 20 grand, you are in a spot financially where you don't need 20 grand. It doesn't do anything for you.
If you offered me, so I'm in for 20, if you offered me $5,000 a ticket, yeah, I would do it.
I think that's
because then
the
I'm making about
mark.
$7,000-ish yes. off of the sale.
You make $7,000 off of the tickets.
At that
I can't
point,
fault you.
You love your team, but that's $7,000. I'll
What's
take it.
The amount that I tell you you make that you go, really? You sold out for that? Like, if it's like $2,000, are you
anything,
questioning
$2,000 is like the over-under marker for me. Like, like $1,999 is the, like, like, if you're under that, what's the matter with you? You're a bad fan.
If you spent $2,500 for the tickets.
Right.
But I make $2,000 selling them.
Yeah. If you're over $2,000, I'll say, okay, I could get it.
Like $2,000is
$2,000, man. Yeah,
I think you
need to
at
fill
least
my truck on the way home, all right? I could use $2,000 right now.
If you doubled your money back. Less than double your money.
Yeah,
I'm
got
like,
issues. For $500, like really?
Because
that was
if
all
you
it took?
Already shelled out that
and then
much,
your team loses by 20, and you go, "I could have made $6,000 instead of watching this crap." Welcome to our hellscape as a Blazer fan.
Blew a 15-point game three lead. Is that what you're telling me against Golden State?
We have a lot to get to in the second hour of the program. We kick it off with Stephen Wilson, host of the Ole Miss Locked On podcast. Lane Kiffin comments. We'll kick off hour two with that on 105.1 The Fan.
How We Met Your Mother is the How I Met Your Mother rewatch podcast with me, Josh Radner, and series co-creator Craig Thomas. Follow How We Met Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.